5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Good evening. The show begins with a conversation about the future of the Navy. Tom Modley, former acting secretary of the Navy, comments on his Real Clear Defense piece calling for a spin-off of the U.S. Navy, like spinning Ferrari off of Fiat, giving it value again for its worth over the centuries for the Navy, over the decades for Ferrari, a high-quality product that was lost in the matrix of the DOD. Well, not lost, just not given its full head to guard the U.S. and to project power. Tom and I discussed whether the U.S. is a continental power, meaning the Army, or a naval power, meaning the Navy. I side with the naval. Two oceans and a great distance between us and the adversaries. That makes the Navy the front line, the back line, the watchtower, the guarantor of defense of the homeland, of the new world. And I join with Tom on this. Simultaneously, coincidentally, the president comes out with a design that he says he'll help build a new battleship, the Trump class. Little practical use for a larger ship. The president is lost in thought. Leave it alone. We come to wrapping up the year. The unknowns of Hezbollah from David Daoud. The unknowns of Syria from Ahmed Shaarawy. The unknowns of Ukraine from John Hardy. The unknowns of the Muslim Brothers from Edmund Fitton Brown. All of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy, all brought in thanks to Bill Raggio, commenting on what needs to be done in the new year. The jihad is awake. That's what the Bondi Beach means. And the adversaries are taking advantage of our soft spots. That's the killing in Syria of two Iowa National Guardsmen. The U.S. is going along with the idea that ISIS did it. The shooter was a member of the security forces of Damascus, HTS, Al-Qaeda, Shara. Bill indicates there's great unhappiness in people who are responsible for that area of the world, protecting Shara and his gangsters in Damascus. Conversation with Professor Richard Bell of the University of Maryland, who's written a fun, stimulating, revelatory book of the American Revolution from the point of view of characters you don't know to ask questions about until you do. For example, Baron von Steuben, called Steuben. Where did he come from? What did he want? Why did he ride into camp at Valley Forge with a big medal on his chest and a brand new uniform and a greyhound named Azor and attendants? He contributed a great deal to the war, training the soldiers who were despondent at Valley Forge. He was in all the battles with Washington after that. He was at Yorktown with Washington. Who was he? Where did he come from? What was the risk he was taking? What happened to him afterwards? It's a wonderful story. didn't know to ask. What were the Hessians who surrendered after the death of their commander at Trenton on Christmas Day, 1776? What happened to them? They were marched to the streets of Philadelphia so that the citizens could see that the Hessians were not 8 feet tall and monsters. They were ordinary soldiers of fortune. Their prince, Hesse, had charged for them, and he kept the money. They were far away from home. And what happened to them? Well, it turns out 1,000 of them or so were marched to Philadelphia and then sent to Lancaster County, where there were barracks not being used left over from the French and Indian War. And there they stayed for the balance of the war. Very few defected, but they did work the fields of the Pennsylvania Dutch and the Amish. There was German-speaking in the area generally, which is why Washington thought to send them there. He thought they'd be converted by the Patriot cause and come over. Very few did, maybe 1 in 6. I learned from Richard Bell. But I'm inquiring now as to what's left. Who remembers? Are there graves of the Hessian soldiers? Well, the book is filled with surprises like this, especially Peggy Shippen, the daughter of a merchant in Philadelphia who was mostly Tory. But she had her eye on Benedict Arnold, 40 years old, a war hero, and she landed him. And then they needed money. That begins the rest of the story. Richard Bell's The American Revolution and the Fate of the World, second hour tomorrow night. In a conversation with John Yoo about the new national security strategy, which John finds good, defending the homeland, not so good, bad, not taking into account the threat of China, and ugly, which is to disdain, disregard, dismiss, ignore our European allies. Much more to say on that matter. The fun story of the night, for everything, the one I enjoyed the most, it was in Richard Bell's books about a man named Murray, William Murray. He was a confidence man, a pickpocket, a thief in London. He would come into a shop well-dressed, ask to see this watch or that bauble, and say that he hasn't made up his mind and leave, and later on the clerks would realize things were missing. Well, he practiced this game for quite some time till he was nabbed in London, taken to Newgate, which was overfilled, Newgate Prison. So the British Admiralty, combining with the directions of Parliament and Whitehall, practiced shipping them overseas. Where did they send them? The American colonies or the Caribbean, but mostly the American colonies, the Chesapeake colony, especially. Well, Murray was shipped off, and soon enough he landed on his feet, he escaped, became a confidence man, made some money, and then took passage back to London. There he was operating in his familiar haunts in London, robbing people, robbing store owners, until he got nabbed the second time. And they go, what are we going to do with this fellow? Where can we send him? They decide to send him to West Africa, which was their next stop in the idea of transporting criminals out of Britain. Soon enough, in the West Africa, he became not a prisoner anymore, a warden of the slave forts up and down the line where men were bought and sold. And he did such a bad job being bribed and misbehaving and brutalizing people that the commander of all the forts was furious with him, didn't even want to give him a trial. Said, I'm just going to have you blown apart. You deserve it. At this point, I'm thinking, how's he going to escape this? This is a Barry Lyndon figure. He's a rascal. Well, he didn't escape it. They tied him to the front of a cannon and blew him apart. His pieces went all over. And I thought, wow, what happens to the end of this story? Turns out, the story was always about transportation of criminals, not about Murray, although I love Murray. And we turn to Joseph Banks alerting the Admiralty that Australia might work. You know, it's a rich land. We could send them there. The Admiralty ignores this, so does Parliament for a while, but then they comes back to them that maybe Captain Cook said something positive, maybe Joseph Banks, the naturalist, said something positive. And they get together the idea of a fleet after a middle-level civil servant, I learned from Richard Bell, writes a 9-page letter, convinced that this is a paradise that they should ship people to because it would relieve the pressure of the poor. He was thinking of his mother, whom he could send. And soon enough, the Gabernsey in the 1880s put together an 11-fleet ship, and that's the first fleet, the one that goes out to Australia and lands at Botany Bay, where they do not want to settle. The soil is thin, and the Aborigines were watching them from the shore. Eventually, they'll settle in what is now called Sydney. So William Murray was part of the story of the birth of Australia. The American Revolution was part of the story of the birth of Australia. The book has many wonderful episodes like this. I recommend it highly. There's much more to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for listening. Good night.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.